You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March 15, 2021. President Biden apparently moving forward to plan the next fiscal plan he has. That is going to be a major tax hike, the first we will have seen since 1993. His new economic spending bill will follow the $2 trillion coronavirus relief package. And this next spending initiative, it's got to be bigger. I mean, it's natural. You got to make it bigger. They've got the House. They've got the Senate. They got the White House. They are the kids in the candy store, and they're going to grab everything they can before 2022, because then they may not have all of that. So do it now. Push it through. This next spending initiative could reach $4 trillion. And it apparently will not rely on just government debt as a funding source, which is massive. It could include an increase in the corporate tax rate, chasing businesses back out of the nation, raising their tax rate that Trump lowered so they would come back and giving them a break, and they spent money to tool up, get more people employed. And when COVID hit, we have some 9.5 million without jobs right now. They had jobs before COVID hit. If you wanted a job, you had a good chance of finding a job. But do you think this is going to help keep businesses in the U.S. and create more jobs? You're smarter than that. I don't know why they're not. And speaking of someone who should be smart enough about this, Treasury Secretary Yellen. She's saying, I don't think we're going to see inflation. I don't think we're going to see that. We're not going to see inflation. Gas prices are up. You know they are, and they're going to continue going up. And now a report from a group that follows mortgage rates, Credible Operations Incorporated, says that based on its data, mortgage refinance rates have risen compared to last Friday. Mortgage and refi rates seeing a huge spike. The average mortgage rate now hitting 2.750. Last week, mortgage rates were at 2.5, and all of the rates were comfortably below 3%. But that's going up. And the current rate for a 30-year fixed-rate refi, now 3.125%, and it will continue going up. Yeah, there'll be no inflation, but she insists we'll be able to handle it. And a wealth tax is not off the table, in addition to corporation taxes. Now, what number are they going to peg as a wealthy person and how much they're going to take from you? Let me give it to you this way. There's talk they're going to make it $400,000. Oh, I'm good, Larry. I won't get a tax increase. That, you know, if it's $400,000, I don't make that. Even if you make $390,000, I'm not $400,000. I'll get away. Maybe I'm $200,000. I'm less than half. Don't you imagine that somewhere along the line they're going to say, you know what, we need to go down a little deeper and raise some of those taxes too? They will. They will. Joe Biden, by the way, still will not talk about Andrew Cuomo. Should he resign? Should he go? Should he stay? We're going to get into that in more detail in the segment coming up after this news and commentary. But for now, the White House defending its silence. Neither Biden nor Harris will weigh in on it. And this is now day 53, and Biden is yet to have a news conference. And what's happening along the border is a crisis. You want another perfect example of it? The U.S. government now announcing it's going to use the downtown Dallas Convention Center to hold up to 3,000 immigrant teenagers. 3,000. Now, when did we ever have that many coming across the border? We had to put them in something like the Dallas Convention Center. Never. But they are blaming all of this again on Trump. One Texas rancher in the South, border resident, said this situation is so out of control that we have people in cars bringing illegals, and they're just driving through our fences, coming across the border. Not talking about a border fence. I'm talking about the fence on their property. All right, this Monday, what's happened in Chicago on the shooting situation? 40 shot over the entire weekend, 4 dead. And a Chicago police sergeant shot yesterday afternoon while simply standing in front of a police station. You think it's getting any safer in Chicago? That is all going to give them the opportunity on the left to say, see, we need more gun control. You think any of those hoodlums that are involved for those shootings in Chicago, you think any of them are going to follow any of your stupid gun laws? They're already breaking laws like murder and mayhem.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I never touched anyone inappropriately. I never touched anyone inappropriately. I never knew at the time that I was making anyone feel uncomfortable. I never knew at the time I was making anyone feel uncomfortable.
Those are the words of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo from March 8th. Now, we did not dub him to say that twice back to back. He actually said it that way. He repeated each statement twice, as if I say it twice, it drives the point home. And he probably practiced it that way in the mirror, so he didn't know what else to do. But I never touched anyone. I never had sexual relations with that woman. He didn't wag his finger like Bill Clinton did, but you get the gist. Did he? I don't know. It's their word against his. But there are several theirs now, and they are up to 6 or 7. Joe Biden said, He was asked by a reporter, do you think Cuomo should resign? He said, I think the investigation is underway, and we should see what it brings us. Of course, Biden's had his own little brushes with such allegations. And there are numerous pictures of Biden, you know, leering over a young girl, kind of leaning over on her with his hands on her shoulder to the extent you can see the little girl kind of squirm to get her shoulder free. And other women say that he invaded their space, getting over and sniffing their hair. And, of course, that one event that supposedly happened in a Capitol hallway when a woman was delivering papers to him back when he was a senator, and she claims that he kind of pulled her into him. Now, it's their allegation. It's their story. I'm not dismissing it. I don't know. And you cannot make a determination based on that. But if it's involving a conservative with those allegations being accused of, they don't need no stinking time for an investigation. Lom, bam, lock them up. It's done. You saw how they went after Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court nomination hearings. They never substantiated anything. But they said you had to believe the women. And Cuomo himself has gone after other members of the state legislature or government if they were caught in something like this. He said, you got to go. You can't handle your job. I mean, whether or not you're guilty, you're tainted. He doesn't see himself that way this time around. He doesn't. By the way, there was a picture the other day that got posted. I have to admit, somebody wrote a very cute title for it. Now, you might not think it's cute. I think it is. It's a picture of Cuomo walking. I think he's on his phone. And he has they were saying it's a white sheet draped around his shoulders. I assume it was probably more like a blanket or something. He's walking outside and it's chilly. I'm guessing that's what it is. A white blanket draped around his shoulders as he's walking. And a photographer gets a picture of it. And somebody said, I got the perfect tag for that picture. You know what they called it? Pig in a blanket. You gotta laugh. Come on. No, you didn't think? I thought it was funny. Pig in a blanket. But Biden and Harris, and keep in mind, Harris had accused Biden. Remember during the debates and when they were still challenging each other? And she was asked about the woman's allegation in the hallway with Biden. And she said, well, her statement sounds credible. But now, of course, that's forgotten because she wanted to be on the ticket with Joe Biden. But I remind you again, she did not sign up to be the vice president for the next 4 years. And if you watch every news conference, they're not really news conferences because Biden just comes out and makes a statement. Over his shoulder, you see Kamala back there with her mask on, standing just off of his right shoulder in almost every picture. Which, by the way, riddle me this. The vaccine is supposed to make you good and free and clear of COVID, no danger, right? Why the hell is everybody that shows up with the Biden administration still wearing a mask? Especially at the top level. Biden, Harris, and many of the others have been given vaccines weeks ago now. They shouldn't have to wear a mask. Or is the idea that when you get your vaccine, no, you're still going to have to wear a mask. They will continue to tighten the restrictions and move things around. All right, let's go back to Cuomo dealing with this issue. And, of course, he is not a good friend of New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. And de Blasio does not have a great friendship for Cuomo. And de Blasio is saying all of these allegations going around and him trying to hold on to office, this is now jeopardizing, are you ready for this? Jeopardizing lives. Please listen.
I think he is used to getting things his way, and it's been almost an imperial governorship. But I got to tell you, the folks in this state and the political leadership don't believe him anymore. He doesn't have any credibility. So I think an impeachment proceeding will begin, and I think he will be impeached, and perhaps right before that he'll decide to resign. That's probably the most likely outcome right now. But I got to tell you something. He should resign right now because he's holding up our effort to fight COVID. He's literally in the way of us saving lives right now.
Yeah, well, that's a big deal, isn't it? Shouldn't we be concerned about that? Actually, we should be more concerned about what he did, reference the numbers and so forth, manipulating the numbers, hiding them, and so forth, then these allegations of invading a woman's space or molesting, whatever the charge may be. And I'm not trying to make it lightly because that's the story of the women. And I'm not trying to defend Cuomo, but I'll be honest enough with you that it's their word and his word. No one has any additional documentation. And just because more and more women come forward still doesn't make it true. You have to be absolutely fair on this issue. Do I think he did everything they said? Yeah, I do. And I apparently everyone says he's been a bully. He's always done that. And he has no problem with getting really, really jumping in someone's face anyway on something else. So he probably thinks I am God's creature for women. I am God's man for all women. And, of course, then you've got some, like I think it's Minnesota Governor Whitmer, saying, well, Trump was worse. Trump, what's the value of a comparison like that? What's the value of that comparison? Oh, yeah, that's right. Get Trump in there and smear him. Trump was not a pastor. Never a pastor. I didn't elect him or vote for him because he was had high moral standings or he was a pastor. Did you? Well, if you did, you were misled. But Cuomo is in office now, and I don't see him going. And over the weekend, on the Brian Stetler media program, or whatever they call it, the Washington Post media critic, Eric Wimple, was on there. And if they thought he was going to kind of go along to get along since he's on CNN, as they were discussing coverage of the Cuomo case, Wimple stepped out on the limb. Not too far, because if you hear he gets out there and then rushes back, because I don't think he wants it cut out from under him, but he made his point in the first 20-plus seconds. Please listen.
I would be remiss, Brian, if I didn't mention CNN's own huge media story here with Chris Cuomo, the anchor at the 9 o'clock hour, who covered Andrew Cuomo and had all these wonderful love-a-thon interviews with him, more than 10 of them. And they suspended the conflict of interest rule for Chris Cuomo for those interviews. Yet all of a sudden they've enforced it again now that Andrew Cuomo is in the midst of an historic scandal in the Albany State House. So I think that that is a major black eye for CNN. I will say that you and other people have covered the Cuomo story very aggressively. So I do want to be fair about this.
And I could have chopped off that last part, but I'm going to let Wimple have that remark as well, because he's a guest on Brian Stetler's program. So he said he wanted to add that I think you have covered it fairly and well. I disagree, Eric Wimple. They've done only the minimum as they needed to. It's pervasive across CNN. And if you were honest about it, you would look at, if even if you think that Brian Stetler or whatever his name is has been doing a great job in covering it, compare that to the allegations of Stormy Daniels and Trump as to what he was reporting then. You just look at the number of times that story got flashed and pushed and promoted over and over again compared to what even the media critic at CNN is doing now. Wimple's right. There's a credibility crisis at CNN when it comes to how they're doing Chris Cuomo and his brother Andrew Cuomo and on the rest of the CNN main programs. And the Washington Post is also guilty. I don't mean Washington Post, I mean the New York Times. I was looking at the New York Times the other day on my morning letter that's slapped in the face every day, and I was looking at the other one, and you had to go through page after page before you found anything mentioned about Cuomo. And the bigger issue still should be the COVID numbers. And de Blasio was asked specifically, he was asked specifically regarding those numbers. Do you think there was a cover-up?
I don't have a doubt in my mind. Everything was about his public image. Everything was about his political future. It was not about what people needed. And by the way, it was about campaign contributions. The nursing home industry, the big hospital systems, they gave him millions and millions of dollars. And he went easy on them. And he tried to cover up for everyone, not just him, but his donors. And I think the investigations are going to prove this, Margaret. This was a thoroughly corrupt situation.
Yep, those are the words of New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. And talking about the nursing home numbers. The order that Cuomo said every nursing home must accept COVID-positive patients. If you have them, you keep them. And then they fudged the numbers as to how many died in nursing homes because his order was sending those people to death row, basically, in a nursing home. Putting them in a petri dish filled with COVID bacteria and said, good luck. And yes, the numbers were massaged and moved and not reported. How do I know? Well, we all found out in the beginning because a member, a senior member of Cuomo's staff, talking in a phone conversation with Democrat senators who support Cuomo at that point, saying, yeah, we didn't give you all the numbers because we, you know, we were afraid they might be used basically by the Trump DOJ against us. Well, that's also, I would think, a crime in holding those numbers from the federal government. And they got upset. They got upset. But now you've got members of the legislature, and that includes Democrats, saying Cuomo has got to go. He just cannot stay. Not because of the COVID numbers, though. It's because of the sex allegations. But when you put them together, again, the question for Bill de Blasio, what should Cuomo do at this point?
He just needs to resign so we can actually turn the page. Mm-hmm. And look, it's an optimistic time, as you started out this morning. It's an optimistic time. We got to put the past behind us. Well, and Andrew Cuomo can't lead us into the future. Well, we've got the people of the state ready to reopen, but we need to get him out of the way to do it.
Yeah, they definitely want to put it behind them. Biden's still declining any statement at all. Harris won't make anything. Nancy Pelosi did say over the weekend that Cuomo should, quote, look inside his heart. I guess you'd have to believe he's got a heart to begin with, Nancy. According to a lot of people around him, he doesn't have a heart. And then, of course, Nancy still wants to blame Trump for what's at the border. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Drinking dog whiskey, tell the wild lies. One leads to another on Saturday night. But don't you cross your heart unless your horse dies. Drinking dog whiskey, tell the wild lies.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Actually, the facts are these. There are more children, about 600-700 more children, unaccompanied children, coming over the border. This is a humanitarian challenge to all of us. What the administration has inherited is a broken system at the border, and they are working to correct that in the children's interest.
There they go. There they go. They continue to push that lie. First of all, there's no crisis at the border. And if there is, it's because Biden inherited a mess from Trump. She did admit, yeah, there are a lot more children. In case you missed what I had in news and commentary at the top of the hour, the government now planning to use the downtown Dallas Convention Center to hold up to 3,000 immigrant teenagers. These are going to be boys ages 15 to 17. And they're going to keep them there for... Well, they're not sure. They may use that facility for up to 90 days. Because I got to put them somewhere. So they've never had a case where they have to do that. There's a tent facility the Border Patrol was operating about 165 miles south of Dallas. It's holding more than 1,000 children and teens, some as young as four. Children, according to lawyers who talked to them, say they're packed in packed conditions in the tent, some sleeping on the floor. Others not able to shower for 5 days. I want to stop there for a moment. Do I feel for those kids in that situation? Yes, I do. Whether or not they were old enough to make their own decision to come here, or an adult brought them that is actually a relative, one to bring his family or her family, or if a cartel member or a child trafficker brought them across so they could get into the country better and then plan to put the child into some sex ring. But when I hear that there's some sleeping on the floor, not able to shower for 5 days, I still feel for them. But do you imagine that they were having things really better where they were living? How many do you think might have been sleeping on the floor or actually dirt where they were living and not having a shower for days? That's not a good thing to think about, but be realistic. It's kind of like all the uproar the other day about our National Guard troops having to sleep in a parking garage. Look, while they're there, supposedly, and they shouldn't be there still in the D.C. area, but while they're there, yeah, let's make better accommodations for them. But if you're in the military branch of any type, National Guard, Army, whatever, sleeping on a floor in a parking garage might be the best sleep you're going to get if you're actually on a mission somewhere. It's not in a foxhole, and you don't have anybody dropping rockets on you overnight. So there's not a lot of sympathy for me on that point. But, yeah, let's take care of the kids. But it is Trump's fault, right? We are told by the Daily Mail and their reporting the facilities are over capacity by almost 700%. And the number of unaccompanied children, family units in custody tripled, more than 100,000 migrant encounters just last month, all jumping after Biden's inauguration and his first executive order halting southern border wall construction. But Nancy doesn't want you to look at those stats. Just think about the humane thing and quoting the Bible.
I always like to quote our friends in the evangelical movement. At one of our rump hearings we had before we had the majority, the representative said to us, the United States Refugee Resettlement Program is the crown jewel of American humanitarianism. So we have certain responsibilities that we must honor. We have to have a system that accommodates that, and that is what the Biden administration is in the process of doing.
Yeah, but no. And, of course, they were talking about when we bring immigrants to this country, we certainly do everything we can to help them when they come legally. These folks are coming illegally. We're still trying to do what we can because some of them are kids. They really didn't have any choice in it. But others, 15 to 17 years old, I don't know if they had a choice or not. Coming up, a guest talking about the possibility of a State Department COVID investigator says the COVID might have been a bioweapons accident in China. Let's hear what he has to think. Coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest is J. Michael Waller, Senior Analyst for Strategy with the Center for Security Policy, concentrating on propaganda, political warfare, psychological warfare, subversion. And J. Michael, glad to have you on board, sir.
It's great to be with you, Larry.
And what do you prefer to go by, J. or Michael? I didn't get a chance to find out.
Well, my mother named me John, but she always called me Michael, so I use a little name.
Yeah, but when she called you John Michael, you knew you were in trouble, right?
I was in trouble, yeah.
Now, I'll share something with you real quick you'll get a kick out of. We had last week Tommy Waller, also, of course, for the Center for Security Policy, as you know, one of your colleagues there. And I was asking Tommy, I said, are you related to J. Michael? And he said, no, he's much smarter than I am. So put that feather in your cap. So here's,
oh, he's a great guy.
Yeah, he was. He's Semper Fi as a Marine, and I know you are, let me see, with the Naval Postgraduate School, former instructor there and so forth, and at the John F. Kennedy Special Warfare Center and School at Fort Bragg. Excellent credentials. Now, what we were wanting to talk about is we've got this situation about COVID, and David Asher, former lead COVID-19 investigator at the U.S. State Department, was being quoted on March the 12th, just a couple days ago, while having a discussion at the Hudson Institute. COVID might have been a weapons vector gone awry, not deliberately released, but in development and then somehow leaked. In other words, China was working on a bioweapon and they lost control. Your take.
Well, this is something that a lot of people have speculated on, but it's really important development that somebody with the stature and experience of David Asher would come out and say this, because if anybody would have the right credentials to make such an assessment, it would be him.
And he also added that if so, this turned out to be the greatest weapon in history, taking out 15 to 20% of the global GDP, killing millions, the Chinese population barely affected.
Yeah, and profiting immensely from the crashed economies of the whole world and of our country as well. So this, you know, I have hesitated to speculate on this because I don't have the specialized knowledge that someone like David Asher would have. But certainly, when you don't, the Chinese party puts an army major general in charge of the laboratory and of the efforts to fight this the Wuhan virus, and that this army two-star general happens to be a specialist in biological warfare, you can't help but think that the Communist Party knew all along that this was a military issue.
Well, I think it was just a coinkydinky. I mean, come on. But to that extent, I mean, and I agree, this is certainly a valid, and he has a background to make the statement, David Asher, former COVID-19 investigator at the State Department. But the proof, and when it came to the proof, when we finally had, of course, we had the World Health Organization not really helping in the beginning, but when we finally had World Health officers, inspections, I should say, go there, we were told they were there for 2 weeks. They spent a week, they say, basically in quarantine, then a week going through meetings. And then what they reported back to the World Health Organization, we found out later by a couple of the inspectors, it was handed to them by the Chinese authorities. They were never, never inside the lab.
That's right. That is a lab that the United States government has helped pay for.
Yes.
And the French government and others. I mean, Dr. Fauci's name is on the contract from years ago. So it's something like it's you figure if there's a real accident and if there is only benign medical research taking place there, they're going to open up that place for international inspectors to see. But over the past about 12 months and 1 week ago, you've seen the Chinese Communist Party with a global propaganda campaign to disclaim any responsibility for this pandemic and to, in fact, blame it on us. So you know that there's a big cover-up going on, and there's nothing of this, say, diplomatic humility saying, oh, we're really sorry, we're going to try to make it up to the world, let's open things up. They can't allow that to happen. And their whole regime will be in trouble.
Yeah, and they also are blaming it on Canada. So that, you know, anyone but them. And we all know how that
gets.
Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, those sneaky Canadians, you know, of course they're behind it.
Yeah, yeah. Anything, get it off our back, right. But looking at if, and I've had previously, Gordon G. Chang, I'm sure you're familiar with him, an expert in China. He's talked previously.
Yeah.
He's talked previously about how China has a largest collection of DNA, and I think he specified U.S. DNA, American citizens, than anybody in the world. And the thought being that if they're collecting DNA, why are they doing that unless they're trying to manipulate a future weapon to target certain ethnic groups or something of that nature? You, of course, dealing with this political warfare, psychological warfare and propaganda, how do you put all that in context?
Yeah, if they're building a genome weapon, then they are intent on depopulating entire ethnic groups around the world. And if you look at what Xi Jinping is doing with non-Han Chinese minorities, so the majority ethnic group in China is the Han Chinese, but what they're doing now with the extermination of the Uyghurs, which is not just a Muslim group, but it's a Turkic ethnic group as opposed to a Chinese, you know, it's Central Asian as opposed to what we would consider Chinese, or what the Chinese would say a Han Chinese group. But they're doing, they've done it with the Tibetans, and now they're doing it not rounding them up in camps, but they're doing away with, they're erasing the identity of Mongolians in northern China, which is called Inner Mongolia. They've just started this, and there were big riots against this in Inner Mongolia last summer. So you can see Xi Jinping has embarked on an ethnic cleansing campaign, not only in China, but if he's developing a genome weapon where China's expanding population is going to have to go other places to settle and expand, then this is a really, really frightening development.
You're listening to J. Michael Waller, Senior Analyst for Strategy with the Center for Security Policy. Now, again, back to a statement from David Asher, a COVID-19 investigator with the State Department, one of their top investigators. He said that he noticed in prior to 2020, he said he noticed in 2016 that China stopped talking publicly about its research at the Wuhan lab. That was in 2016. And he said that one night the same year, he recalled hearing a Chinese military commentator on China's state-run media state, and I'm quoting, "We have entered into an area of Chinese biowarfare and including using things like viruses." And Asher said, I mean, they made a public statement to their people that this is a new priority under Xi for the national security policy. And state media apparently just stated it clearly in 2016.
Yeah. Yeah. And that around that same time, I think the year before, in 2015, Xi Jinping promoted Major General Chen Wei, who is a scientist, and she's head of the Institute of Bioengineering at the Academy of Military Sciences for the People's Liberation Army. He elevated her back in 2015, and she's the one who is in charge of the lab at Wuhan, at the Institute of Virology. And that's the only storage facility in China that's known to work on biological warfare. This is the same storage facility that the U.S. taxpayer has been funding in the name of, you know, who knows what.
And to that extent,
you've got a biological warfare general running this thing. How many militaries in the world have a two-star general running a biological warfare program?
Well, you talk about connections. Apparently, two foreign experts on the World Health Organization inspection team, Peter Daszak and Marion Koopmans, have clear ties to the Chinese regime. So, again, I mean, they went and they got what they were handed, but they were never really going to do anything anyway. But some is speculation, some is reasonable speculation, but the real threat is there. You deal with it. You get something like this, and it happened just by accident this way, this time, if that's true. What could happen?
Well, I think the general consensus on this now is that whatever happened was indeed an accident. But the fact is, what can you learn from an accident? You can learn a lot. You can learn how these viruses spread. You can learn what they do.
But, I mean, what can they do? If this is just an accident, they've seen what an accident do. That has to give them some additional fuel for additional thoughts going forward.
Sure, because you can exploit an accident and treat it as if it was a real test, like a test run. How does this work? How does it spread? How do societies respond? How does this affect supply chains? What happens with societal behavior? Can we induce the Americans to riot and fight against one another and stir each other up? Can we ruin their economy?
Wow.
Can we get rich by buying up their depressed resources?
They did a lot of that,
didn't depressed they? Companies.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you for... I'm sorry, running out of time.
A big learning experience for the Chinese military.
Yes, absolutely. A great learning experience. J. Michael Waller, John, Michael, like to have you back on in the future, sir.
That would be great.
All right, we appreciate your time. J. Michael Waller, Senior Analyst for Strategy, the Center for Security Policy. Coming up, China still on the story. Stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
This
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
What we've learned is that China engages in that activity at a level 6 times greater than Russia, 12 times greater than Iran. It's a massive influence campaign, and really what it's intended to do, Maria, is to influence members of Congress to make sure that they're passing laws that are favorable for China and not passing laws that are anti-China. And they've been successful.
Those are the words of Peter Schweitzer, author, as appearing on Sunday Futures with Maria Bartiromo, talking about how China is trying to take advantage of us. He said they've done numerous things, and, of course, among them, I'm sorry, I stand corrected. That was a former Intel director, Ratcliffe. He had made those statements back in December. I apologize. I got ahead of myself. He was talking about, back in December, that we knew China was doing what they could to try to cause havoc and create tension inside our nation. Now, here is the word and the comments, I should say, from author Peter Schweitzer about how he's evaluated how China is trying to have a competition with the U.S. and starting with trying to co-op or decapitate part of the leadership.
The Chinese leadership in 1995 set up something called the Central Leading Bureau for U.S. Congressional Affairs. It was designed and is targeting U.S. members of Congress. And the theory is really simple, Maria. If you're going to have a competition with the United States, why not try to effectively decapitate part of the leadership by co-opting them? You can co-opt them in the old-fashioned Cold War ways of sexual honey traps, so to speak. You can also do it by giving sweetheart commercial deals by enriching their families. And China has a whole lot more money to do that than the Soviet Union ever did. And so this is a massive problem. We can challenge and we can stay ahead of China. We can even work to potentially reform China. But it's going to take leadership and tough decisions. And there are a lot of people in Washington who don't want to make those tough decisions because they're making a lot of money by being cozy with Beijing.
Boom. There you have it. Some folks in D.C. are making some good money now with Beijing. I'm not naming anyone. Neither did he. But says, yeah, they're working with them. And the honeypots he mentioned. He's talking about sex traps for members of state and our federal or county legislatures, such as Congressman Eric Swalwell. Remember the Japanese lover that he had for a period of time, who was a spy, and she, according to the FBI, also had sexual relations with a couple of mayors somewhere in the Midwest, don't have any names on those. So they were doing what they could. And Swalwell, when she met him, he was just a lowly, newly elected city council member and rose into Congress, and then Nancy Pelosi puts him in the Intel Committee. So she scored big points back home by having this liaison with Stelter. I'm sorry, not Stelter, Swalwell. They're going to use what they can. Now, I want to bring your attention here. The Woke AF Nation founder, I'm not really sure what Woke AF Nation is. I've kind of heard some of it. Basically, it says everything. It's a woke group. And you know what they want? This investigation of the January 6th riot at the Capitol. They want to look at the phones and social media records of Senators Cruz and Hawley. Hawley of Missouri, Cruz of Texas. Because one of the representatives said, I saw GOP congressional members maybe encouraging, even conspiring with the riot, and it'd be really good to look at members of these Congress. Josh Hawley, the picture of him with his fist up in the air. Look what Senator Cruz said in Georgia right before the insurrection, as they call it. We want their phones. Let's take a look at them. Let's pull their records, phone records of those members of Congress who were on the floor. Every single person should have their records pulled. Well, if they're going to do that, that means every single person. I would bet there'd be a lot of Democrats. I don't think so. And it's not going to happen anyway. It's just another way to make noise over this and try again to talk about how bad it was, and it was bad. But again, use it as a weapon against those on the right. Now, word came out today that two men have been charged in the assault of that Capitol police officer who died. That would be Brian Sicknick. Remember, we were told that he died because he was hit in the head with a fire extinguisher. He went back to his headquarters, was okay, and then collapsed and died. His mother said that's not what killed him. We do know that, but we don't know exactly what did. And apparently he had even texted his brother back at the police station that I got fine, just got sprayed in the face a bit. Well, now two men are being charged with assaulting him using bear spray or something they hit him with. Now, if there's an autopsy that proves the irritant in that spray did something to his system hours later, then it will not just be assault charge, it'll move to murder, or at least an effort. Right now, it's just more talk. He clearly did not die while being hit in the head with a fire extinguisher. That didn't happen. Now they're looking at this exposure, and it may well be legitimate. And it's still a shame because he was there doing his duty and attacked by those who wanted to carry out some nonsensical actions at the Capitol. And those guys should be punished, each and every one of them. But I'll remind you, it was not an insurrection. They weren't trying to overthrow the government. There wasn't even a gun found on any of those who were arrested. Always, I appreciate you joining us. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.